Oh, wait, sorry. 90,000 have bought Cox in this week because there was a hack. And so people bought Cox in because
I did see
Cox
that one, yeah.
is, yeah,
She's not playing.
it sounds like cock.
Yeah.
Do you get that one?
Thanks for clarifying.
Yeah, so yeah, 90,000 people have brought cocks in because it sounds like another word for a penis.
And everyone knows that penis jokes are the funniest jokes. Just before fart jokes.
Yeah. Hello and welcome back to another episode of FPL by Dummies. I'm your host Tom, and with me is my lovely, lovely, lovely guy, Cam. How are you, mate?
I am the lovely guy. Hello.
Lovely. Triple lovely, mate.
The lovely, lovely, lovely guy. Yeah, I'm not too bad, mate. How are you doing?
I am not too bad. We come to you, well, timestamp it quickly. It's a Monday at 7 o'clock, and there's no Monday Night Football. Lo and behold, and we
probably
just
won't
waiting...
be any Tuesday night football either,
or Wednesday night football, or Thursday night football, or I mean, how many years are we going to have to wait till Burnley play all of their reallocated games? Haha, no one's made that joke before. yeah, so we're in the middle of Dumble game week 22,
which will be single game week 22.
Which another classic, single game week 22, and yeah, how's it going for you?
Not too bad. I decided to free hit this week. I just thought, you know, a bit of fun. I had a spare one going, as it were, and thought, you know, try and get... I tried not to chase too many doubles. I already had a few players who were on doubles, but I was playing fun with flags with Sheldon Cooper because half my team was injured or away on international duty. So I thought a week to get a full playing team out. Yeah, just have a go. That quickly has been culled to having what was... Well, I've had four players basically who were set to have doubles be cut down to just singles. Obviously, Spurs with their North London derby being called off. So I've got Lloris, Davies and Kane all now just playing Leicester. And as we found out this afternoon, it's very likely that Burnley, Watford will be called off. So Dennis will just be playing the singular two-pointer that he got against Newcastle. So, I mean... At the minute, I'm above average, sitting on a red arrow because I'm below my safety score, but I still have my captain to play, which is Kane, and Greenwood, Mount, Davies and Lloris to play still as well. So not all doom and gloom. A little bit frustrated because I was going to bring Fernandez in this week on my free hit, but decided to distribute my funds elsewhere rather than invest heavy in him. But that would have been the right call, as it turns out. So, yeah, a little bit annoyed. But other than that, like I think... This will be either a small green or a very just, yeah. Can you get the greys ever actually happen? Like, does anyone ever maintain their rank?
I don't know. Because, I mean, yeah, I'd love to see an actual grey arrow of like, yeah. Oh, yeah, I was 217,452nd and then I finished 270,452nd at the end of the game week. So that would be impressive.
I'm impressed you remembered all those numbers given you just said them randomly.
Yeah, I know, because, well, you know, this genius is unmatched.
That's not your actual rank by any chance, is it, Tom?
It's not, no. Unfortunately, I'm actually doing a bit better. Oh, wait, am I doing better than that or worse than that? I think I'm doing better than that, so I am. Oh, wow, that's really weird. What did I say 214,000?
17.
Oh, I said, well, my actual rank's 214,742. So actually, if you flip the four and the seven, it's pretty much spot on. So,
yeah, how about you? How's your week going?
Not too bad. Took a 4-point hit this week. I bought in Jota, which was not worth it. And I bought in Dennis, which was not worth it. So,
who did you get out for?
I took out Brozier and I took out Son. So, I mean, I've captained Dennis, which obviously. I wouldn't have. There wasn't really anyone else that in my team at the time which was captainable. I didn't want Bruno Fernandes because even though he has a good fixture over this double, I would just immediately get him back out. Mm. And so then I'd be looking at captaining. I was probably between captaining Bowen or Calvert-Lewin. So I mean, it could have been slightly better for captain Bowen. I probably would have gone Calvert-Lewin because it would have been funny after his 0-pointer last week. And that would have gone horribly wrong as well. So,
it would have gone just as well as Dennis has gone. So,
yeah. So what? So between Jota and Dennis, they've got 5 points, and Brozier got 2. Son got 0. So, I'm minus 1 down on the hit. But after last week, getting Bowen in, and I mean some positive last week, so then it's not too bad. I can't. Yeah. Can he complain, mate? Can he
I realised today at work. I knew that my hit last. So I took a minus 8 last week, and ended up getting Bowen and Soufal in. And then captaining Bowen, so it definitely paid off. But I thought I'd actually like work it out. So I ended up, as I say, it paying off because I ended up 12 up on what I would have had. But then if I took a minus 8 because I got rid of Brozier for Calvert-Lewin because I wanted Calvert-Lewin in with his double.
Yeah.
And I got rid of Bernardo to get in Bowen and I got rid of James to get in Soufal. So I didn't need to get rid of Brozier to be able to get Bowen and Soufal in. Like I could have just made that and taken a minus 4, which would have made me 12 points better off had I not done that.
Calvert-Lewin.
Because Calvert-Lewin wasn't an enabling move. So if I'd just done that, I would have got the extra 8 points from Brozier and gained the minus 4 that I took to get Calvert-Lewin in. So ultimately my hit worked in inverted commas, but I could have got like, I think it would have been like 92 points effective compared to the 80 that I did get. So
no, where was you?
Yeah, my
cry me a fucking river.
Small violin out, but you thankfully got Brozier in out on a week where he then didn't score. So
yeah, exactly.
That was kind of the small segue that I was going for. But
yeah, no, that's true. Although did I even play him last week? Nope, he was benched. So doesn't matter. But been interesting week. Fixtures have been relatively interesting. I mean, Man City have pretty much won the league now.
That was done a few weeks ago, but final nail in the coffin. I saw someone who was a Liverpool fan today saying, if we win our game in hand and beat City at the Etihad, like let's just like recognise the size of that if we beat City at the Etihad, we'll only be 5 points behind. And that still requires City then to lose 2 games and us to win 2 games. So like this is just, it's gone. Like
I mean, and they've also got like a mad little run of fixtures as well coming up. So they're in the middle of it. But yeah, this is now the next few games as well are pretty much, I mean, if they don't get wins in the next 3, I'd be surprised. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, not, I mean, there's still a long way to go. There's still like 15 plus games of the season left. And it is possible for the wheels to fall off. But this City team is just a machine. As I tweeted, they are inevitable, it seems, at the minute. And what a goal from KDB as well.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, great strike.
To ride a challenge from Kante, get away from him, like the best defensive midfielder in the world, and then just curl it into the bottom corner.
It was really good. It was really good.
I got the impression that the Newcastle-Watford game was a good one to watch. Obviously, it was a midday one. So when I say midday, it was like a 3 o'clock, so you could watch it. But I got the impression that was quite an exciting game. But in terms of FPL, it was quite underwhelming.
It was a classic Newcastle dropping points as well.
Yeah. I know that a few people own St. Max, but the Watford goal came from João Pedro. No one owns him. Yeah. No one owns Semenya for the assist. I think, was it Longstaff who assisted St. Max? Or I don't
know.
No assist.
To be fair, 0.3% owned João Pedro. So, I mean, pretty good haul for the 0.3% of people who own.
Massive. So, yeah, exciting game, but not anything good. Then Norwich Everton saw the departure of Rafa, Agent Rafa. I saw someone summarise his contribution to Everton in this past 6 months. And he basically got rid of like half of their hierarchy. It was like director of medical or something, like their director of football. I don't think it was their director of football, but he got rid of half of their hierarchy and then sold Luca Dean to Everton, Watford. Going through all the teams that they didn't sell him to Aston Villa, and then he gets sacked like 3 days after they sell Dean. So now he's just left them in an absolute shit show, both position-wise in the league, but also just kind of like how they rebuild after this.
Yeah, I think I saw like a Instagram or Twitter post from like Paddy Power, and it was just like of an open top bus, and it was Liverpool are announcing the open top bus parade for Rafa Benitez after destroying Everton from the inside. Congratulations.
Absolutely.
It was funny. And we've missed Brighton Palace as well. I mean, Brighton dominated for the entire game and still managed to get a draw.
Yeah, but think about the XG, Tom.
I mean, yeah. Graham Potter, what a boy.
Another classic Gallagher goal. Just that smile. That damn smile. a little shout out to Meme FC there. Norwich somehow picking up 3 points against Everton, who are shit. James Ward-Prowse, what a goal.
He's so good, isn't he? But yeah, actually, so I think it's one of those, everyone sort of talks about him for 5 minutes and everyone forgets how good he is. I just imagine him, do you reckon he could ever make a step up to like a better team? I'm not, that's a bit harsh. I mean, it's not a good side, but I'm talking like top four, the big six in inverted commas.
I don't know. There are certain players that I think do just have a level. And
do you not think he has? I think he could step up.
No, but what I mean is, I think, you know, he could go to a big team and be a squad player and, you know, probably have a good run of games in the team, but not really make an impact. You know, he's obviously got the set piece, so he'll pick up assists over the course of a season just from corners and free kicks. And every now and then he'll knock a free kick in the top corner. But I feel like he is Palace's captain, leader,
yeah,
their go-to guy.
He's like a Ben Mee, he wouldn't leave.
Well, it's not that he wouldn't leave, but I think if he did, he wouldn't be held in the same regard. Like, I think someone tweeted a few weeks ago about, like, kind of reply your best answer to team the players that should have never left teams. My answer was Gini Wijnaldum going from Liverpool to PSG this year. Like, obviously, yeah, he's playing with some of the best players in the world, but he's not the go-to. Like, he wasn't Liverpool's go-to guy, but he played every week and he was an essential player. And I thought of another one, Danny Drinkwater, going from Leicester to Chelsea.
To Chelsea, like, in the 23s.
Yeah, I mean, like, he wasn't the best midfielder in the league, but he started week in, week out for Leicester. Was a big part of why they won the title, got into the England squad, and then has gone for 30 mil to Chelsea. Like, I think Chelsea signed Danny Drinkwater for the same amount of money as they signed N'Golo Kanté for.
I think you might be right there.
Drinkwater's gone into oblivion, and I think he's on loan at Reading now, or maybe he signed for Reading.
Is he actually?
But I think he's definitely playing Championship football. And I don't think that would happen to James Ward-Prowse, but I think he would. I think Gini Wijnaldum to PSG, I think, is probably the best example. I think he would go to a bigger team and be a squad player. He might have a run of games where, yeah, he's in favour, works hard in training, whatever. But I just think Southampton is the place for him to stay. Watched an interview with Matt Letizia this week, and he was asked if he could do his career over again, would he have gone? Because, you know, he could have gone to United or any of those. And I think Letizia, had he gone to one of those teams, would have been a difference maker because he was just that good. But he was like, no, I wouldn't have changed it. And I think Ward-Prowse should do the same.
Okay. But I disagree. Yeah. I think a team that would very much benefit from a James Ward-Prowse is Liverpool at the moment.
You think?
Yeah. I mean, well, they have no attacking threat in the middle at the moment. Hendo just shoots from outside the box. Milner's shit. he is shit, isn't he? I mean, he may as well be running around with a Zimmer frame. All he does is come on and get a yellow card.
He definitely has been a bit more of a liability of late.
Thiago has three glass legs. Because he replaces one every so often, but that just seems to shatter immediately.
I was going to say, what do you know that we don't?
Ox is good but underused. Ox is good but underused.
He's also very injury prone.
Yeah, so yeah, James Ward-Prowse would fit in there beautifully.
I don't disagree. I saw today that Liverpool are interested in Calvin Phillips, which I would prefer to take over.
Another CDM. Then you could play three CDMs again, to be fair.
Yeah, that's normal. And we'd be second in the league, where Brentford.
Yeah, but that's just stupid argument.
Yeah, but you were left speechless, so I went 1-0 cap.
Talk about how much profit you made in the transfer market, mate.
Yeah,
No, that's Brentford. You just talk about, oh, we sold Coutinho for so much money, so then we bought some players. We haven't actually spent any money. Oh, fuck off.
Yeah, and then we won the Prem and the Champions League, so it's all good.
Can't even sign your best player to a decent contract.
Yeah, but he's 30 and he's asking for a massive contract. No, I think we should give it to him.
Didn't leave your speeches, but I left you stuttering, so I think that's 1-0. So I didn't leave your speeches, but I left you stuttering, so that's 1-0. You're like,
talking about selling Coutinho, he's back.
Aston Villa, beautiful.
I'm so happy for him.
Yeah, me too.
I hope he continues in this vein. Another player who probably shouldn't have left, but I can understand why he did. But yeah, buzzing to see him back in the Prem and Villa. Talk about stuttering. United, you know,
they did not deserve to be 2-0 up, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't watch the entire game, but you know, they got to 2-0 up. I heard that they were the better team for the first half an hour or so, and then Villa came back into it.
Yeah,
they even from the final, I saw from about, you know, 55 to like 80 minutes or so, and Villa were all over them for that time. So
yeah.
Great result for Villa, I think, but yeah, more kind of teething problems for United. By the way, just would like to clarify, Tom and I are still friends, even despite the result on the weekend, Liverpool beating Brentford 3-0 with our top scorer, Fabinho, for 2022. Mate, he's got 3 goals in 7 days. What a baller.
It's actually insane. To be honest, I'm not upset about that at all. I wasn't expecting anything. I mean, we just got beat 4-1 by Southampton, so I was expecting worse than 3-0.
True.
So, yeah, I mean, you go to Anfield, you don't expect to get a result, really. I mean, Van Dijk started, so therefore we weren't going to win. But that, I mean, that's just, what is he, 56 games without a loss at Anfield?
My boy.
Ridiculous. I mean, yeah. I mean, first off, we played really well. The thing that's annoying, and the only thing I'll say on it is, about from a Brent point of view, is we did defend really well. We made 3 mistakes that led to goals. And apart from that, I thought that was there or thereabouts. Brian should have scored a goal as well from us, but I mean, it was just a poor finish.
Yeah, it was just wide, wasn't it?
Yeah, it wasn't a great finish, but yeah, that'd been quite nice. But yeah, Liverpool, I mean, rightly so, were all over us. I wasn't expecting anything different. A complete difference from the massive 3-all at our place. But I mean, it was different teams, and you know, we had fitter players, and you had less, more injuries as well. So
yeah,
yeah. And then, I will happily accept a 3-0.
Yeah, final game so far, and it will probably end up being the final game of the week. Let's be honest. West Ham Leeds, another exciting game. It seemed. And Jared Bowen chesting over from 4 yards out in the 90th minute or whatever it was.
It was a great game.
Yeah.
I mean, Jack Harrison was ridiculous.
But Jack Harrison, hat-trick, his first in the Prem. Big shout-out to him, even though he's not listening. But it was a well-taken one, I think. Yeah, I mean, we've got seven now, so he'd make 8.
Yeah, nice. Made me happy as well. Nice. It just, VAR just needs to get a good looking at, really, as well. I mean,
what are you referencing here?
The Klitsch goal that was disallowed.
Yeah.
I mean, ridiculous. I mean, that fact that's disallowed. There's literally a player in line with him.
Well, the thing is, it is ridiculous because the ball literally was in the net, but that would have gone down as a Rodrigo goal because it came off him before it went in. So
would it off? Would it not gone? Yeah.
No, because he was in front of the line. If it touched him, then just, it would have gone in and been a Rodrigo goal, and he was technically offside.
They're literally on line. They're literally in line, and I just, for me, it's like that. At that point, it's like
it is. I don't disagree with you. Like, I absolutely think when I saw it, I was like, "Come on, can we not use a bit of kind of just real life sensibility and just be like the ball was on its way into the net?" Like, and when I say on its way in, like literally.
It
was an inch less than, or so away from being over the line.
Rodrigo's still alive, I thought he was going to block it.
Well, he's facing away from the ball. Like, he's just like crouching down to get out of the way, and it brushes his elbow or something and goes in. It was a bit ridiculous, but at the same time, by the letter of the law, he was in an offside position and it went in off him. So,
I think we should just have a moment of applause maybe for Leeds, finally showing everyone else in the Premier League how it should be done. Bear in mind, they had Rodrigo come on, who was 30 years old, and the second oldest player on their bench was 20.
Yeah, given that the bench is 7 or 9 strong.
So. Yeah, how many people do you have on the bench? 9.
Well, I think they had 8.
They had 8 on the bench.
Yeah, I think it used to be 7, and then with the concussion subs, like, you can have up to a bigger number. I can't remember what it is.
Well, they had 8 on the bench, and they had to bring on 2 players in the first half because of injury.
Yeah. No, I think everyone on Twitter is generally of the same mind that these postponements are getting a bit ridiculous at the minute. I mean, Tom pointed out earlier that the Burnley one that we referenced already is genuinely down to COVID cases, which I think is fair. But with Arsenal this week, Leicester the week before, and I think Liverpool even took advantage of it a few weeks ago.
It's a tough one with the Liverpool one because they had loads of false positives, which they reckon is because of, obviously, it's batching. So they reckon that obviously they're made of batches, and so you get false positives because they're distributed throughout the world. But obviously, if you buy a batch, which obviously Liverpool have done, and that batch then is reading false positives, then that's what happens.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, lots of clubs are obviously taking advantage of it. And the thing is, there's nothing... They're not doing anything wrong objectively. Like, the rules allow them to request these postponements because they technically don't have enough first team players to fulfill the fixtures. but the rule was obviously created for COVID absences, not just injuries or players on international duty. And the most ridiculous thing, and this I think is the one that takes the piss the most, is Arsenal now sending Pablo Mari out on loan today, the third player in a week. And bearing in mind, they sent two players out on loan before they requested a postponement of the North London Derby. And then a day or two after they were supposed to play the North London Derby, they sent another player out on loan. So as much as I'm saying, you know, the clubs aren't doing anything wrong, that is kind of taking the piss.
Yeah.
But I think the clubs do have a responsibility to, whilst they're not doing anything wrong, not take the piss. And so if they have enough players due to... who, like, they don't have absences due to COVID, then they should try to fulfill the fixture. But I also think the main blame lies with the Premier League, and they should be clamping down on this or redrafting the rules so that it's clear that you only request these postponements and they'll only be granted if you actually have COVID absences. So, yeah, frustrating as an FPL manager, but also just as a football fan, because people want to see these games played. And especially when you've got Dennis, who's going to score six away against Burnley. And then that gets postponed. That's a bit tilting.
Yeah, it's a bit annoying. I completely lied. The blame with the Premier League. I mean, I accept it from the teams like Burnley. It's like, because if you can get away with it, I mean, and as we've already said, I believe it's mainly COVID cases, but you have a team like Burnley who's obviously struggling near the bottom, who are bottom at the moment with obviously the amount of games they've got in hand.
Yeah.
But obviously they're going to use as much as they can to try and make their team stronger. Well, they don't get it with teams like Arsenal and Leicester, where you have such a strong team anyway. And a team that's not even... Yeah, I mean, exactly. And that's what it starts to frustrate me, because, you know, they have the teams like Burnley who don't have the strength and depth like the teams like Leicester and Arsenal. And I guess we'll say Liverpool, because they've had to get a game postponed. But and also Man United had a game postponed previously as well.
Yeah,
with, I mean, they're all for COVID cases, and the ones for COVID, I understand. But yeah, like Leicester and Arsenal, for me, is just unacceptable. It's just not good enough. I mean, don't think it's their fault. I think it's the Premier League completely at blame there.
Yeah, the thing with Burnley as well is that it's well documented how much of a shoestring budget they operate on, and how kind of minimalist their squad is. So I think they probably do have a 23-man squad. But as we just mentioned about the number of substitutes you can have, I think quite regularly they have maybe seven. At most, and quite often that is intermingled with academy players, because they run a tight ship, and so if they have a few people go down through COVID, or, you know, even injuries and suspensions, like, whilst we're saying that they probably shouldn't request postponements if it's down to injury or suspension, you could understand if Burnley were to try and take advantage of it, because they've got such limited resources. But I don't know, a bit frustrating, isn't it? But
it's not great.
The way the cookie crumbles is. So should we do Snog Marry Avoid?
Yeah, let's do it.
What is it?
Do it. Sorry?
What is it? What is Snog
Marry Avoid? What is Snog Marry Avoid? What is Snog Marry Avoid for the 8 listeners that are listening right now? Snog Marry Avoid is our game that we like to play. It's our little mix on the old classic dating game. Apart from the fact we're not planning on dating any of these people. Well, are you?
Why not?
Okay, fine. Maybe it is then. Yeah, exactly. So Snog is a short-term pick. We're picking for maybe 1, 2, maybe 3 game weeks. Depends how we feel. Depends how attractive they are, I guess, according to Cam. Amari? Are you that shallow? More of a personality man?
No, all about looks for me.
Oh, fair enough, you shallow bastard. Amari, a long-term pick, someone that we want sort of maybe more for like 5, 6, 7 game weeks, could be even an end of seasoner if, you know, someone like perma-captain Salah comes back, when he comes back. And finally, an avoid, someone who, the uggo of the bunch, the one we want to push off the cliff, the one that stays in the corner at the school disco, who no one's really interested in. Apologies to any of those people who are in the corner at the school disco. Don't worry, that
yourself.
Was me. Yep. Fantastic.
Come to the ugly side.
Come to the ugly side. I'm here waiting. Do you want to start with your snog?
Yeah, mine, as Tom mentioned, they're quite short-term picks, and this is the most short-term of the short-term. I mean, there could be an argument for having him in a bit more long-term, but my suggestion is Alan Saint-Maximin. He is coming off the back of two goals in two games. So he got one at home against United, and then actually that was ages ago. That was game week 19. They've had so many postponements since then. But, you know, the stats don't lie, 2-2. He obviously lives up to the talisman theory, particularly with Callum Wilson out. I guess that kind of is case in point. I didn't see how well Chris Wood played from the highlights, which I guess if you didn't see how well he played, it suggests he didn't. He didn't feature very much. But St Max is their best player. And coming up, they have Leeds and Everton, who are both very leaky defences. As we already mentioned, Leeds are down to the bare bones. They could well get that postponed. But if it goes ahead, then Leeds are lacking first team players. And even when they do have them, are very leaky. And then Everton could be coming in off the back of a new manager bounce. That is 2 or 3 weeks away now. So that could well be sorted and they could be running a tighter ship. But I think if we're going off current form, they concede a lot of goals of late. And even though Newcastle don't score buckets, St Max is their main guy. So I think for a short-term punt, only 11% owned at 6.6, St Max could be your man.
Yeah, I quite like it. Yeah, the only thing is, like you said, on the Leeds game, I think just wait and see and obviously try and play that as close to the deadline as possible. I think he is and will be. I mean, they could sign several players this window. He'll still be their best player. And he's fantastic. Obviously such a good goal scorer and such a good player. I love watching him.
I mean, I'll caveat my own shout here. I think, obviously, he is in competition with the likes of Dennis. Well, Dennis is a little bit cheaper. But he's in competition with Mope, Edouard, Dennis. So these are all kind of reasonable shouts for mid-price strikers. But I think if you're playing... Are there due to be any double game weeks in 23 or 24?
Maybe. There's a few talks. I mean, Aston Villa seems to be the one that everyone's talking about. Mm. But, I mean, who knows? Absolutely no idea.
Do Toon have any potential doubles? They've had games postponed. Well, they've got Everton, so they're not going to play Everton in one of those doubles, but they do have Southampton, so I don't know how likely that is to be slotted in somewhere. But yeah, he does have competition, but I think as a punt, I think he's not the worst.
I like it. And obviously Everton may be stronger at the back coming up while that game, because obviously big Duncan Ferguson will be in helm for that game. I mean, it'll probably just come on and deck someone, But no, I do like it. I think that's probably your best bet. Just going on the 23 doubles, there's potential. It looks mainly Aston Villa, I guess, and probably Burnley if they're fit by then. But even, I mean, that's completely up in the air. Who knows what's going to happen by 23.
Would that be for 23, did you say?
Yeah.
So it would be Everton and who? Burnley, they might play at Villa.
Sorry, Aston Villa. It'll be Everton and Burnley or Leeds, I believe. That's according to the legend is Ben Crellin. Once again, if you're not following Ben, just follow him. He'll just post all his updates every week. It's brilliant. I like it. My snog this week is... The reason it's a snog is because I think I'll be focused on it for three games, is Kyle Walker. Obviously, he was out with a knock. Usually is quite... He's been in the... Well, I mean, this, if you look at this year, apart from recently where he was out with COVID and then obviously has been injured with a little knock, he's now back in the team, picks up his first clean sheet against Chelsea. This season, he's been pretty much in the team. He's been mixed around a few times. But I think with the three games coming up, they've got Southampton away, Brentford at home, Norwich away. And for me, I'm going to stick my money on Kyle Walker over I'm Eric Laporte. Walker's 0.2 cheaper, so an easy swap for me for someone like Reguilón or Soufal if I'm getting either of those out. I like Laporte. I just, with Stones coming back in on the weekend and replacing Diaz, I just feel like something's going to happen there. I feel like Laporte has just been solid in that team since game week 15, played every single minute. And I think with Stones coming back in on the weekend, I just feel like there's going to be more rotation in the centre. There's no one really replaces Walker. Had a great game against Chelsea, I thought, played really well. Absolutely burnt off Ziyech. I mean, he's not known for being the fastest bloke in the world, but absolutely burnt him a treat. The only one really that comes in is Zinchenko, and I think he's currently on FPL. He's sat with a knock, he was out on the weekend, and I think that Walker will probably come in his first choice again. So I'm going to probably hedge my bets. Everyone has Cancelo. I mean, if you don't have Cancelo, then obviously, of course, get him in. But my focus here is going focusing on double Chelsea, Man City defenders, beating the effective ownership of Cancelo, which will be near enough 100% anyway. No one's really captaining him. But yeah, having double Man City defence for the next three games, especially, as I said, it's Southampton away, Brentford at home, Norwich away. And I don't really see anyone conceding. I don't see those three teams scoring at City.
Yeah, so just to clarify, you are doubled up or would be doubled up with Walker.
I will be doubled up with Walker with Cancelo as one, which is already, I mean, his ownership's already off the charts. I mean, if you don't own Cancelo, just get him in, whatever you need to do. He's 43.5% owned. Another 11-pointer on the weekend. Looked as good as normal. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, for me, if I'm going to edge my bets on one of them, I'm going to go with Kyle Walker because I think, I mean, he's been pretty much pretty much in the team all season. It's only since Christmas where he got that knock. And I think he had a bit of a personal thing going on with a family friend or something, which put him out of the team. So I'm pretty sure he'll be back. And I'm going to probably, maybe, make a transfer this week because I'm not sure who I want out yet, but I'm probably going to go Kyle Walker in.
Yeah, I mean, if I was a braver man, I mean, I might still do it, but if I was a braver man, I would definitely double up on City. I just don't know if I could hack the rotation. That is just what scares me the most, because as you say, Laporte, Diaz, and well, I think now that Walker is back, he's probably the most reliable. Cancelo will shift back over to left back if he's not already been there while Walker's been out injured. And yeah, Walker will slot in at right back. And with those fixtures, as you say, I think the biggest threat from those three games is Southampton, just because of set pieces. City aren't the biggest. They do have a good defensive record, but I think, as we already mentioned, Ward-Prowse's delivery, and they've got some big bullying centre-backs who can get their head on the end of it. I think Bednarek's got a good goal-scoring record recently. But otherwise, you know, you're looking at pretty much guaranteed clean sheets for the next 3 weeks and probably beyond that. And obviously Cancelo is the major playmaker, but Walker could definitely chip in with a few assists in that time. So I like it as a shout. As I say, most people probably do have Cancelo. If they don't, then they'll get him in. But yeah, if you're brave enough to double up, then I think Walker is probably the best shout out of all of the City defenders, as you've just mentioned. I think an honourable mention. I'm not going to talk about him. So I think an honourable mention goes to KDB. He's obviously 12 million, less than 10% ownership, and he's definitely going to be starting now. And as we mentioned, like, unbelievable goal for full bonus against Chelsea. So I think he's got to be a serious consideration. But my actual marry for the next few weeks, very bandwagon-y. But I'm going to caveat it by the fact that he's so low owned and so low priced that you can just afford to have him in your team. And it's going to be Jacob Ramsey. He obviously is coming off the back of a goal and assist. Again, as I say, caveated by the fact that he's played a decent number of minutes this season, 1,155. In that time, he's got, I say, only four goal returns. His minutes have been sporadic at different points of the season. But in the past six or seven games, he has played at the very least 70 minutes in all of them. And in most of them, he's played 90. So I think, obviously, McGinn was out injured for the game against City. Sanson has recently become available. And obviously, Coutinho coming in this week. There is a lot of competition for places in midfield, Buendia coming back into form. But I think for 4.6 million, 2% owned, you can happily have him as a filler in your team, either come off the bench every now and then, or you could even happily start him. And I think he'll chip in with goals and assists. And as I say, if he doesn't do that, then you're not going to be too disheartened because he is only 4.6 million. I think pretty much everyone this year has at least one enabling midfielder. So I think Ramsey is probably the pick of the bunch, and he can also give you some decent returns as and when you need him to. So I would suggest getting Ramsey in, leaving him in your team for the rest of the season, because he's only ever really going to gain you value. So if you did want to bin him off, then he's done another favour for you and accrued some value. So yeah, I'm going to say get Jacob Ramsey in.
Yeah, I don't hate it. I don't love it. I think the only thing I'm going to say, the only reason actually I don't like it is because it stops me getting in triple Villa.
Yeah, well, I'm guessing your one of your triple would be Buendia or Coutinho.
Yeah, so we'll slide into my Mari as well, because I mean it works. My Mari this week's Watkins. We spoke about it before. He looks great. I mean, he's playing really well forward.
Looks great, and he's a good footballer too.
And he's a good footballer. Hey, beautiful. Another Brentford reject who, you know, we like talking. You know who I like talking about on this podcast. No, he does it really good. I prefer him over Danny Ings, and I think if any of them would get dropped, if they went one up front, would actually be Ings. I think Watkins is in better form at the moment. Playing really well, looks really good going forward. I think he will score goals. They have. Did you already speak about their fixtures?
Villas. No, I actually didn't, which is another point. The fixtures are great.
I mean, they've got Everton up next, Leeds, Newcastle, Watford, Brighton, Southampton, and that's the next six. Obviously, potentially a double game week coming up here in 23. Obviously, the closer we get to the deadline, the less likely it will happen. But there is potential for it to slot in between 23 and 24. Obviously, we've got an international / FA Cup break coming up. And I believe, obviously, we've got Villa out of the FA Cup, and I can't remember who it is that potentially playing. I think it's Burnley or Leeds. Can't remember. But there's another team that's they're missing a fixture, and it needs to be slotted in there. And they're also out of the FA Cup. Oh, it might be Arsenal actually. Is it Arsenal?
But
anyway, it's one of them. Yes, I don't know.
Villa haven't got a fixture missing against Arsenal though.
Oh, then obviously not Arsenal, is it?
It's so, Burnley and Leeds are their two unplayed fixtures.
Fine, so it could potentially be one of those. I mean, if it's Burnley and they're back, for Christ, that could be ridiculously good. So yeah, Watkins for me. Just talking on that triple then, for me, I would be... So Digne is obviously very interesting now at 5 million. He looked brilliant against United, I thought. I was unlucky not to get a return, I think. Obviously got picked up a yellow card as well, which didn't help. I know he's the classic trap in FPL. Everyone seems to flock to him at the start of the season. He has a shitter and then everyone gets rid of him. But he did look really good.
I don't think that's entirely fair, though. I mean, in years gone by, he's been a solid asset that people have held for a good number of weeks during the season. I think he definitely has had periods where he has been a trap. Like, people have got him in either for a nice fixture or not. He's had a haul and you think, oh, this is the time to have him. And then he blanks or gets minus points or whatever. But I think... Well, what do you... I know you're not a Villa fan, but what do you think about the Matt Target situation? Do you think Dina just comes in and totally takes over his place, or do you think they're going to rotate?
I was listening to, and again, a shout out to the guys, obviously, at Planet FPL. I was listening to their Clash of the Correspondents between Lee Jackson, who's their Aston Villa correspondent. Yeah. Again, if you're following, Lee is definitely... I mean, with all the Aston Villa talk at the moment, Lee's definitely a good guy to follow because he knows his shit. And Lee was saying that he believes that Target's great and has been very good for Villa, but he doesn't think he's the high enough quality for what they're looking for. Yeah. And so he thinks that Digne comes in and takes that place, and Digne will be first choice.
That's always hard, isn't it? I guess the best case in point is when teams come up from the Championship, and obviously the players have done well to get them there, but they are basically Championship level players. And so as much as they kind of deserve to stick around and play in the Prem, they also kind of, the teams need to be pragmatic about it and get in better quality players. And I think Target falls into that category, but just at a slightly higher level. He's an established Premier League player, but I think for Villa wanting to push on to get into Europe and stuff, he's obviously not that level. Whereas Dean's played for Everton, who are that sort of calibre team, has played for Barcelona, one of the biggest teams in the world, etc. So he, and I saw an interview with Christian Perslow, and he said, you know, one of the big things that Gerrard was looking for is players who are winners and have a particular mentality, but also just like genuine just talent and calibre. And I think it's fair to say that Dean has that over Target, which is a shame because Target's done a good job for them for the past few years. But probably is the end of the road for him.
Yeah, well, what Lee was saying is that, and to honestly, I guess if you wanted to go safer, you go Matty Cash at 5.1 mil. So that's definitely a good choice. But yeah, you've basically got Matt Target. What he was saying is he doesn't go forward enough and he doesn't drive up from the left-hand side like Digne does. So, I mean, that's why he comes in. And then in the middle, I mean, over Rams. So then obviously I've got two already if I wanted to go three. I mean, I'm tempted. It's 1 point. I might go to two and then I'd look at the third. Buendia looks fantastic at the moment. I mean, yeah, he looks, I mean, really he was well. so good against United. And then obviously you've got the man everyone's talking about, the bandwagon trap himself, Philippe Coutinho.
I'm surprised he's not had a price rise yet.
He's been bought by 200,000 people already.
This is the thing that makes me think that FPL isn't algorithm based or just, you know, totally random. I feel like it's definitely manual and that people are kind of in charge ultimately of the price rises, because Bruno had 40,000, or has he gone up slightly more today? No, he's on 43,000 transfers in. That's probably not his net transfer in. There's probably some people transferring him out. But he gets a price rise today. Coutinho has 200,000 and doesn't get a price rise.
See, I don't think Coutinho will get a price rise for a while, though, because the problem is he's not... Of course, people are transferring because no one can transfer him out. So he's not reached his, like, his standard. So maybe his like standard is 7% of ownership. So to get 7% of ownership, he needs to have 700,000...
But I was under the impression that it's not necessarily down to percentage ownership. It's down to the sheer number
how many people
of
that bring
in.
Him in. Yeah. Yeah, but then if he or hasn't had, but he has to have transfers in for people for his price to go up.
Yeah,
so he can't.
He's had 250,000 though. That's the thing.
Yeah, but he's only just joined the game. So it's like Lukaku when he joins the game. If he joined in January and he was set at 11.5 million, you'd expect 2 million people to bring him in. For example, let's just say I'm using Lukaku as an example. A massive signing joins Liverpool. Is everyone going to flock to sign him? So will his price go up? No.
Coutinho was on the game prior to United, so you could transfer him in before United, couldn't you, though?
Yeah, but no one would have done that.
Some people did.
But all I'm saying is it would be illogical to bring in a player and set them as a price, and then immediately their price goes up because so many people have brought them in because people want them.
So let's say Coutinho hadn't played the United game and had signed this week. And so had been put on the game this week. Obviously, yeah, if 250k people flock to transfer him in and he's only just been brought in, then it doesn't really make sense to shift his price. But the fact that he's already played a game week and has that under his belt, like his price has been set, then it could and probably should go up. I think, like, the thing is, I think tomorrow his price will go up. But
one second.
It's weird how at 250k he hasn't had a price rise, but Bruno gets 40 and gets a price rise. I mean, another example, Trent has had more transfers in than Bruno has this week. He may well have had...
It might be that his price is set this week because Fantasy Football Fix is currently predicting that he's not getting a price rise tonight.
Okay. But,
and his current percentage per hour is 2% now, which is high.
But as another example, Trent hasn't had a price rise today but has had more transfers in. I believe Cody hasn't... Like, pretty much everyone above Fernandez, apart from Bowen, hasn't had a price rise.
I think the problem you're trying to get around is the fact that you're trying to understand FPL and how they work, and that's really the issue. So
no, that's good from you. I like that. Yeah,
yeah. So yeah,
I've already got to the point of stopping caring. I should just stop trying to understand as well.
Yeah.
No,
you're a void. Should we move on? Should we move on?
Let's do it. I think we should summarize that by saying I think Villa are the team to watch. And so you should own at least two of their assets. Okay. So moving on to my avoid. I think I've done this for the past few weeks, but I'm going to caveat this one again. I don't hate it as a move from people, but I think if you are going to be backing a Wolves back line, I think the person you should be going for is Jose Sarr and not Connor Cody. So I still can't believe this. Sarr is the top point scoring keeper, am I right in saying? If he's not, then he's one of.
No, he is. Yeah, he is.
The top point scoring keeper, 1 point ahead of Edison, 11 points ahead of the GOAT Ramsdale, and 11 points ahead of Alisson. Obviously, Mendy's been out for the past few weeks at AFCON, but 12 ahead of him, and he's only 6% owned. Add to the fact that in the past 3 weeks, last week they conceded, but he made 9 saves and so ended up on 7 points. 3 weeks before that, he kept back-to-back-to-back clean sheets, faced Liverpool and City where they conceded, somehow kept 7 points across those two games. And then before those, kept another 3 clean sheets. So I don't know how his percentage ownership is only 6.4 and only 40 or 30,000 people have brought him in this week. I mean, their fixtures do start to turn, but that is why I'm saying I think you should avoid general Wolves defenders apart from Sarr, because Sarr will make saves and get save points, Whereas obviously this week, Cody and Kilman got a goal and an assist, but that's not going to happen every week. And I think that is primarily why so many people have transferred Cody in, is because he got 9 points, was it? Was it nine? He got 9 points off a goal. And combine that with three clean sheets, as I say, that is, it is worthwhile or worth some merit. But I just think he is not the guy to go for. He is only 4.6 million. He is less than 10% ownership, so he can be a rotation on your bench and starting 11 as and when Wolves have a good fixture. And they probably will keep clean sheets in their upcoming games. But I think this is, as I say, slightly caveated. I don't hate that people are transferring him in, but I think you should probably be looking elsewhere. And if you don't already own Saar, then you should be going for him rather than Cody.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree with you more.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, welcome. Honestly, yeah, I mean
let's not forget...
He made 9 saves against Southampton.
Yeah. They're coming up against the massivest team in the league as well. So
Brentford, yeah. I mean, it's a tough game.
Guaranteed goals conceding.
Maybe get him in next week.
Exactly. You don't want -4 on your bench.
No, that's true. But no, he's been absolutely ridiculously good this year. Yeah, as you said already, he's the top point scorer, goalkeeper. He will pretty much... I mean, if I can afford him, I'll get him in for Sanchez at some point as my first choice keeper. But yeah, it's just if I can get a free transfer and 0.7 in the bank to get him in.
The thing
but,
is,
yeah, he's
the
so
thing
good.
Is with Cody as well is he is one of the top point scoring defenders. So it's not the worst shout. You know, across the court, like they've played over half their game. So they've played all of the big boys. And, you know, Cody and Saar have ended up as some of the top point scoring in their positions. So it's not to say that because their fixtures are turning, they won't keep clean sheets and score points. But I think, yeah, what is crazy is that Cody has a higher ownership than Saar does.
Yeah, no, yeah. I don't,
Saar has
don't
scored more points. That. Just objectively.
I think just because he's a bit more of an expensive keeper, maybe. I'm
yeah.
not sure why.
I was
like, Cody's obviously so cheap. He's
yeah,
so 4.6.
I was surprised that he came in at 5, though, Saar.
I mean, just because he's a first-choice keeper for a half-decent side, isn't he?
Yeah, but, you know, Sanchez made lots of saves last year and scored a decent total of points in the end. You know, he wasn't in from the very start, but...
I think that's probably why, though, wasn't it, I guess?
Yeah,
I don't know. Not sure.
Surprising. But yeah, that's my void is Connor Cody.
Definitely. No, agree. My void this week is Bruno Fernandes. Fair play if you got him in this week. I mean, yeah, he played pretty well against Villa. He scored obviously 2 goals. I just think there's better players to have than Bruno Fernandes. If you got him in on your free hit, then no problem. If you actually brought him into the team, I personally would be looking at getting him out as soon as possible. I mean, you've got 1 more week until Mo Salah's back. I mean, if you're holding Salah and Bruno, oh Christ, that's bloody expensive. I'm assuming a lot of people still sat on Ronaldo. So, I mean, if you've got Bruno and Ronaldo, I don't like it. He's scored 7 goals this season. He scored 2 goals against Villa and he scored a hat-trick in game week 1. Since then, he's scored 3 goals. Sorry, 2 goals. Really? 2 goals. Let me
quick
do math. Quick math. And he's had 3 assists. And he's had 4 individual clean sheet points. He's done really very little. And I just don't see his value at 11.6 mil. He has the same amount of points as Connor Cody. Like, get Connor Cody in. Don't do what Cam said. Get Connor Cody in for him instead.
Do you think that there's anything in the fact that he played well against Villa because Ronaldo wasn't playing?
No, I don't think so.
No.
No, I understand the sort of thought about it all being a, you know, no, I don't really like that as a thing. I don't really know what's happened to him this year. He obviously is a good asset and he will play well and he will score some points. I just think there's better assets. Like you've already mentioned KDB. I mean, what is he? Do you say KDB's 12 mil?
12.1.
So, I mean, KDB's 0.4 of a mil more and he didn't start at the start of the season or had a terrible start at the start of the season, didn't he? And obviously, it had a bit of an injury. And KDB's on 78 points, so a few less, but has played a lot less minutes and is already on 6 goals, but it's 4 goals in the last 6 games, 7 games. Yeah. I mean, and I for me, I'd rather have De Bruyne than Bruno. Obviously, Salah will be back in game week 24, potentially, maybe 25. Again, well, obviously, I'd rather have Salah. I think I'd even rather have Mane.
Yeah, steady stream of points from KDB. I think it's a... Like, it is fine to have players that are explosive, but I think you'd probably prefer a steady stream of points. I don't know. It just feels better on the mental than having just, a series of twos and then all of a sudden a 16 or something like that.
It's just so much money for a player that really isn't performing at the moment. Mm. And I may come back and he might become absolutely essential like last year after this game. But the way United played against Villa, I think they were lucky to get a draw in the end. I actually thought Villa probably could have beaten them. Mm. I don't think they looked particularly good. Especially going forward. I think they look really poor going forward. Bruno took his second goal very well. First goal, obviously, incredibly lucky.
Well, that's Martinez. The thing as well, yeah.
Exactly.
He,
so it's not
sat
like
on 14 points and it could very easily have been,
a seven. Yeah. I mean, the second goal was great. The second goal was a fantastic finish and was prime Bruno Fernandes from a couple of years ago, from last year. Looked brilliant. But when you look at the players who are above him in the points tally and you think about how many good midfielder options there are at the moment, I just don't see a space for him. Especially, and I mean, at 11.7, no way. So, for me, avoid Bruno Fernandes. And what's his ownership? I'm just going to... 17.7%. I mean, that's crazy. Yeah, I don't get that. I mean, does it work with the free hit? I'm not really sure how that sits with people owning him on a free hit.
Oh, yeah, but, I don't know.
Yeah, for me, that's just absolutely fucking mad.
Yeah, the thing is, I'm a bit torn. I'm just trying to decide whether to be patient, because basically, if rumours are to be believed, Son is due back for game week 24, I believe. So I basically can do nothing and roll this week and only have 10 playing players. Or I could probably get 11. Just because I've got loads of injuries and absences for international duty. So I could probably get 11 out and I could not transfer Son out, roll 23, and then he'll be back fit and Spurs have quite a nice run of games. But I also could get rid of him and bring someone else in. And I'm really not sure who to go for. And I was tempted by Bruno because they're similar price point. Well, no, they're not quite. He's about a million more. But I could make it work.
Do you know who I'd go with?
Who would you go with?
I mean, it would be a massive risk, and you know how much I love a good risk in FPL. If they get a confirmed double game week by the end of this week, I'd actually take Son out for Coutinho.
Do you think?
I mean, why not? Son's going to get you no points out there with nothing. It'll give you an 11th player who, in a double game week, who you'd or even Emi Buendia. I mean, a huge risk, but I mean, a massive upside if you get points from him. It'd be so low owned.
There's no one really jumping out. I think KDB would be a bit too much of a stretch to get up to. Sterling doesn't appeal. None of the Man United assets really appeal. Lots of the Chelsea ones either have tough games or, well, after the Spurs game, Chelsea then blank, so you don't want to bring any of those in. Grealish doesn't appeal. Bernardo doesn't appeal. You know, and by the time we get down, like, we're already down at Coutinho by that point. So there's nothing wrong with having loads of money set in the bank. And rolling just with mid-price midfielders, but it just feels like, common thing of just having money burning a hole in your pocket, and you feel like, I've got to spend this and make sure, I've got like 0.5 sat in the bank. I can't sit there with 4 or 3.5 in the bank. But maybe, as I say, the option is just to roll, get rid of some assets who are sat with flags that I don't want long term, and keep Son. And not transfer him, or I could be bold like Mr. Med is suggesting and go for Philippe. But a quick sideways, Lewandowski has won the best FIFA men's player for the year.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't surprise me.
Which is kind of shows how broken the Ballon d'Or voting system is. I wouldn't go so far as to say corrupt. But I think, obviously, Messi...
It's just favoured. It's just favoured, isn't it?
Messi is just in all of the journalists' hearts. And so they're all like, oh, Messi. And, he did win the Copa America. And
prior it's also, it's voted by players as well, isn't it? Players and coaches.
Part of it is, yeah. But the journalists get the major say, I think, is how it works. So, I think that's a very well-deserved award. But I just thought I'd throw that in there while we have a break between games. But now that that is over with, we shall jump into Would You Rather. We've not had this segment for a while, so if you have started listening to us since the last time we ran it, Would You Rather is another kind of play on a dating game in the FPL context. So very simply, I'm going to give Tom two options and I'm going to ask him, would you rather X or Y? And he has to tell me which letter he prefers and why it's his favourite letter. So Tom, X or Y?
X.
And why is that?
Don't know. You can use it as like a check and, you know, sort of like check boxes and stuff. It's a bit more, you know, usable rather than a Y. Y is a little bit like shit, innit?
And does it remind you of the kisses that your mum sends in on her text?
Exactly. That is the only reason, really.
Yeah, thought so.
No one else loves me, so.
Hey, I love you.
Weird.
Yeah, a bit, but.
Yeah. We're
no judgment here.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay. After that shit banter, my first option is, and I will say, I wrote these out before this chat that we've just had for the past 40, 50 minutes, whatever it's been. But we've ended up talking about them inadvertently. But would you rather James Ward-Prowse or Rafinha?
Rafinha.
And why?
I mean, yeah, he's just the best player playing for a Leeds team. Obviously, Leeds haven't been playing very well, Southampton have been playing much better. But at this moment in time, and obviously recency bias of obviously getting an assist and hitting the crossbar for a free kick the other day.
What a free kick as well.
I mean, unbelievable. He just looks great. It's very close, to be fair. It's actually a lot closer than it should be. Mm. I will just see if I can back it up with a good old FDL rating. Yeah, I thought so. Yeah, the Leeds fixtures are very nice coming up next. Newcastle, Villa and Everton, I'd say the next ones. Southampton, Man City, Tottenham, Man United. So yeah, based on that, I would be happily getting in Rafinha and sticking with my team and leaving them there, to be honest.
Yeah, I think the reason I went for it is because they're both talisman to an extent. They're both on set pieces for their respective teams and they're both very similar in price. Obviously, yeah, Southampton's fixtures are slightly worse. But, you know, if they pick up pens and as we've said, Ward-Prowse is on free kicks and corners, even though they are playing difficult opposition, you could pick up points. So, yeah, it was just, curious. I feel like Rafinha is the better
just a bit
player.
A bit more advanced as well. Obviously, yeah. Prowse is sitting in the middle, so.
He's the better player, but then, and whilst Leeds' fixtures are nice, as we've just mentioned, they do have a lot of injuries. So, you know, Rafinha could carry the team, but he's also going to be kind of held back a little bit. So, okay. So, you know, in short, Rafinha you're going for.
Yeah, definitely.
Nice. This one I think is kind of pointless, but because I don't have a backup, we'll go with it anyway. KDB or Bruno?
KDB, yeah. I mean, I've already gone on enough about it, to be honest. Yeah. I just don't think Bruno's value for money. I think KDB could be. I think KDB has more chance of getting back to the form he was in last year. I mean, he's already in it. I think he's playing really well at the moment. He looks
that's
great.
How much of a chance he's got. He's already there.
He's already in it. He's already in that purple patch. I reckon it's coming. I mean, with the three fixtures they've got coming up as well, definitely. Big fan of Bruno. I like him a lot, actually. I think he's a good player. But I just don't think he's there at this moment in time. And the way United are playing, it's just not worth the money, whereas KDB is worth that little bit more, I think.
Yeah, United are very difficult to call, aren't they? Which team is going to turn up and within that team, which players are going to deliver?
I mean, you can either have a player from the team that's currently top of the form tables and the Premier League, or you can have a player for Man United who are currently, seventh in the league, are they?
Yeah. I saw a good tweet the other day that was like the best sevens in the world, and it was like Kante, who's another number seven? James Milner.
David Beckham,
and then it was just the Man United badge. I think I've already talked about KDB 20 minutes or so ago. Tom's just talked about Bruno. I think it's kind of obvious the merits of each of them, but I think as you've mentioned, City are the form side with the nicer fixtures, and yeah, KDB is their best player. So, moving swiftly onwards, this is going to be one of the quickest segments we've ever done of it. But
love it.
Robbo or Cancelo?
Cancelo.
So, Tom and I had a little laugh before the pod that we saw this stat today that lots of people... The tweet I saw was quite extreme. People saying that Robbo's washed. I don't think anyone's
saying that. I saw the same tweet. Yeah.
I don't think anyone's saying that. But they basically said, Robbo's washed and Cancelo is supposedly the best fullback in the world. Yet Robbo has one more assist and the same amount of goals in far fewer minutes played compared to Cancelo. So they're both the exact same price now, I believe, both 7 million. Cancelo is way higher owned. But yeah, I just wondered, what's your reasoning for Cancelo over Robbo?
I mean, firstly, start with defensively.
Yeah.
Man City are keeping a lot more clean sheets than Liverpool at the moment. Liverpool defensively aren't looking amazing. Yeah, I mean, Cancelo's one of those players as well. Robbo is a left back and is a left back that gets quite far forward, but I feel like Cancelo could just be anywhere on the pitch at any one time. I actually wouldn't be surprised if his stats are slightly lower than what they should be this year.
Who, Robbo?
Cancelo.
Oh.
I've actually just looked as well, and so the assists, Cancelo's actually got more assists this year, but because it's FPL assists, so the ones that don't quite count. So he's actually got 8. I mean, I saw the same tweet as you, because according to the official assists,
so Cancelo's only got 5. They don't count like rebounds, do they?
No. So Cancelo's actually got... And stuff. Yeah. So Cancelo's got 8, but officially he's only got 5 according to like actual official stats. So yeah, but I mean, Cancelo himself, I just see him as he's a further forward player than Robbo is. Robbo gets back and defends and is very good. Cancelo is just everywhere, I think, at the moment. And then obviously you add on the clean sheet bonuses. For me, obviously... And it's always been my opinion, I know a lot of people don't agree with this, but my opinion of a defender is first and foremost, you want a defender who gets clean sheets. Mm. Then when they get attacking bonuses, that's a plus.
Well, other people as you just said, the word bonus was very key there.
Yeah, exactly. I think a lot of people see it as, no, you want a player who goes out and scores and gets assists. And for me, that's a bonus on top of the fact that they can get a clean sheet. And you've got the best defence with one of the best fullbacks currently in the world playing with the next game, Southampton, Brentford, Norwich, Tottenham, Everton. So yeah, I'm going to have Cancelo in my team.
I think the thing is as well with defenders that get attacking returns is that if their bread and butter, their baseline is that they're getting clean sheets, then they are pretty much nailed on for bonuses if they get like bonus points in terms of if they get any other sort of return. If they concede 2 or 3, but they score or assist, then, you know, they might be in with the shout of one bonus depending on how the rest of the game goes. But generally speaking, the attacking players will be the ones up for bonus points, not them. So I think that's why it's kind of important to be defence first and then attack, because the likelihood of further increasing your points returns is higher if you've got someone who gets clean sheets first and foremost.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'd be inclined to agree. I think Robbo, obviously... You could look at it as an advantage that he's lower owned. It's more of a differential, but I think that almost is an argument for Cancelo because he's so high owned, and particularly at our ranks. It will hurt if you don't own Cancelo and then he goes and hauls, whether it's a haul or just a clean sheet, you know, that will affect your rank because everyone at our rank owns him. I think as well, as you say, just from a baseline, City are more likely to keep clean sheets, particularly with the game's coming up, so Cancelo has better promise for returns there. And I think the final point is most people have Trent, I would say. And I think I would much prefer, as we mentioned earlier in the pod, to double up on City than I would to double up on Liverpool. And particularly with Trent and Robbo, that is a huge amount of your budget gone. Whereas even if you double up with City, yeah, Cancelo is 7 mil, but then your double up is going to be 5.5 or less. Whereas Trent is 8.4. So that is just, masses of budget gone in a double up. So I think the answer is to go for Cancelo. Look at that. We actually provide some insightful advice rather than just...
I mean, it's the first time in a long
taking
time.
Taking the piss out of each other and making shit
And
jokes.
To be fair, we're probably at the point of the podcast where people are starting to turn off anyway. So
we're going to have to caveat that on the description or release. Just be like, please stick with it and listen to the end. We're actually worth it.
Yeah, you might actually have some advice, but yeah, maybe not. So if you are still listening at this point, fair play.
We appreciate it.
We'll have a quick look at the league this week, but we'll have a quick one because obviously we're mid-game week. The one we've got to talk about is Sam McCaffey. I mean, Sam has bought in this week Bruno Fernandes. He is captain Bruno Fernandes, and he's currently 89th in the world.
What, on his game week score?
No, he is 89th in the world.
Overall. Bloody hell. Mate, he is smoking the opposition. He's like 50, 60 points ahead at the minute in our league.
It's ridiculous. I was speaking to Sam. We were speaking to Sam the other day. I mean, even he's surprised, I think, at how well he's doing. But yeah, fair play to Sam. That's actually ridiculous. I'm going to have a chat with Sam, actually, see if we can get him on at some point, because he's got to talk us through how well he's doing. I mean, ridiculously good. incredibly impressive how well he's doing. Great game week score at the moment. He's on 74 points, no free hit used. Be really interesting to you, actually. Let's have a quick, we'll have a quick go through. Go on, quickly. Has he used any free hits yet? I actually don't think he has. Wow. So he is currently 89th in the world and has only played his wild card. That is ridiculous. Yeah, fair play. That's actually insane.
Yeah.
I mean, we could be looking at potentially a winner here of FPL.
Yeah, absolutely. He's, as far as I've seen so far, he is... Oh no, we've got Pete Haley. What's he? Has he taken any hits this week? Just looking for the top scorer of the week. Oh yeah, he's taken a hit. So at the minute, Sam is joint top with Clive Duggle for the top scorer of the week so far. Because did Sam take a hit? Do you know?
No, he didn't. Just no, one didn't. Transfer.
So just one transfer. Clive is sat on 78 at the minute and took a -4, so they're both on 74. Yeah, that's the top score of the week. So far, as Tom said, we've still got a few games to go. I think the most interesting thing about the league is a mid-table fight that's going on. And I've clawed you back in, Mr. Med.
I actually hate it. I'm so angry.
I'm only
so close
5
to me.
Points behind you now. And yeah. I've still got my captain to play.
I was 100, or so do I.
And quite, well, no, because, well, I mean, yeah, Dennis, but he probably won't.
Well, you don't know yet, do you?
Well, I would, I don't get me wrong, I would like
I definitely to have. Play, I definitely have more players left to play than you, I believe.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
You have 6 if Dennis plays.
You I think have I've got 6 7. If Dennis plays.
Fuck. No, I don't.
Yeah, you do.
Do I?
Sanchez, Reguilon, Alonso, Mbeumo, Tony, and then Dennis.
Oh, you bastard. And if Dennis plays, that'd be 7. Bastard.
No, if Dennis right, plays, anyway. That'd be 6.
Yeah. No, because it'd be captain, it'd be double, won't it? It's
okay,
2.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I'm really pissed off because I obviously was doing really well at the start of the season.
What's
I was
your...
in the top 100K.
Oh, wow.
214, which is okay. Not great.
It's,
I mean, so I was at 90. I was at 98k, like what, 6 game weeks away ago, and it's just all gone to shit.
It's mad. It's mad that yeah. I mean, you have kind of slumped back to me rather than me catching up to you. But it's mad the difference a few points makes because I'm 5 points behind you overall, but that's 20k places.
Yeah. Well, I'm six red arrows in the last 7 game weeks. That is disgusting.
Yeah, I've had a few. I think I got a green last week, but I've had a lot of red recently.
Do you know what's funny? I'm actually the epitome of Brentford this season. Like the start of my year was unreal. Like I was up to 90k,
like
game
that.
Week 15,
the
and then I've had a few
video.
Losses. Quite a few losses in a row. Which
you're like,
was
this is brilliant. Oh, this is amazing. Easy top three. Easy top three.
Six
crosses line. 60. Except for you, it's going to be 200k. What?
Yeah, yeah. So I have officially closed the league now to all new entries because we are doing a prize this year. I didn't think it would be fair for people to jump in and try and win it. I've closed the league. So if you have joined, well done. There will be a prize for the final. I mean, should we announce the prize now that we have closed the league?
I think we keep them hanging on for a few more weeks.
We'll keep hanging on for a few weeks. If you're still listening to us right now, then yeah, we can keep hanging on for a few more weeks. The prize is good. The prize is... So if you aren't playing for anything else, try and beat Sam because, I mean... That would probably be pretty hard.
Try and win the game, basically.
Yeah, try and win the game because, there's a good prize, which is better than 2 tickets to go and watch your favourite Premier League side.
You get
much
included,
et cetera. There's a much, much better prize from the FPL by Dummies.
What are you planning to captain this week?
Who am I planning to captain this week? I am probably going to go with Jota because I feel like the effective ownership on him will be high enough for me to pick him as the overall.
Not tempted captain. By Dennis, Norwich at home?
Maybe Dennis is tempting. I need to have a bit of a better look at the Norwich Everton game, really.
Yeah.
See how Norwich play, because I want to have a look into that, really, because Watford weren't great against Newcastle. Watford haven't been great the last few games, but obviously they've been scoring. I want to just have a quick look into Norwich and see if there's anything of interest there, really, for me, because it's a risky one. Jota missed chance. Jota just missed chances. I mean,
yeah,
he could have scored.
He could have scored again.
Yeah. Exactly. So, I mean, he does. He's still the one that makes sense. To be honest, now I'm saying that, I'm very tempted to go Cancelo against Southampton.
Yeah, that is a good shout. And I mean, Bowen as an outside away against Man United, I think is promising as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of options this week. It could be nice because it could be lower EOs all around. I can't wait to get a Salah perma-captain back because when I had him in my team...
Takes all of the choice out of it.
Yeah, and I was doing really well. Literally, since Salah's gone AFCON, I've done shit.
Are the two linked? I don't know. Do you maybe I'm just weird, and it probably is the case that I'm just weird, but I have a thing where if I've got lots of players who are playing away in a given week, I just feel like it's going to be a bad week. Do you have a similar thing?
That's just you.
Yeah. I just like when I've got players playing at home. You are a freak though.
So. Yeah.
I do just like having players playing at home, and I think 8 out of my possible starting 11 are playing away. So they do love playing away. But
yeah. And I think
that's all we got time for. All we got time for, sadly.
All we got time for. I mean, that was a long one.
Yeah.
If you've made it this far with us, then thank you very much for listening this far. We do appreciate it, as always. We will be taking a break next week because it is the International / FA Cup week, but we have a very special guest on with us on the first week of Feb? 31st. On the 31st of Jan, where we will be recording, we do have an incredibly special guest coming on with us, which we will announce a little bit later in the week. But yeah, keep your ear holes open for that announcement.
And your eyes on Twitter.
Yeah, it's going to be good fun.
In order to be able to see, you need to be following us. So Tom is FPL Dummy Tom, I'm FPL Dummy Cam, and then the main pod channel, which we might, well, we'll both plug it on our own channels, but the main podcast Twitter handle is FPL by Dummies. So yeah, follow us just for general chit chat, memes, banter, etc., and the occasional serious FPL thought, and then yeah, the main pod to keep up to date with when things are going live and who we're having on, etc., etc.
That sounds good. And make sure you follow Cam, because he posted a funny picture the other day and actually got some decent likes. It was funny to watch it. So I mean, it was actually made me laugh a lot. I'm not gonna lie. Yeah,
I was quite proud of it because
I was annoyed that I didn't think of it first. That's what it was. So
yeah, well, any one of us can be a solid member of Meme FC. So
yeah, I'm still battling away in the under-23s, whereas you're getting shouted out in the big boys. So
well, the thing is, because we've decided to actually go ahead and fulfil our fixtures, the young boys are getting a chance. And so, you know, I've just been.
Well, where was my call up? I've been wallowing away in the under-23s for years. It's absolutely disaster.
Danny Drinkwater, mate.
Danny Drinkwater. I'm worse than that. I'm like, oh Christ, I can't even think of it. Like Bebe. So yeah, no. Thank you very much for listening. And yeah, we'll be back again in a couple of weeks' time with a special guest.
See ya.
Bye for now. Bye.